The following message is brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.
Greetings, fellow Federationists. This is Monday, December 2nd, 2013, and presidential release number 423. I have a note here that says the president of our Cumberland, Maryland chapter, a person named Jason Atkins, tells us that Noah Edison Atkins was born less than a month ago. He weighed 8 pounds and 12 ounces and measured 21 and a half inches long. He and his brother Jacob are doing fine, I'm told. Congratulations to the Atkins family. I'm glad that you have a new person to be a part of your family and to share the joy of this season. I am sorry to have to tell you that a long, long-time friend of mine and a supporter of the Federation, Adrian Ash, died on November 19, 2013. She was living in New York. She was a professor. She did a great deal of study. She wrote about bioethics and about philosophy. She was a tremendous human being, a strong supporter of the Federation, and a very good friend of mine. She had had a bout with cancer. She had done many joyous and good things in her life. I will miss her. I am sorry that she faced the tremendous challenges she did. If you think back to the convention last summer, she made a presentation on the convention agenda about the right to live in the world and how this was changing with the changing spirit of bioethics and what we need to do to protect it for blind people everywhere. After I had heard that she died, I got a letter. This one is from Rick Fox, who is living and working in New Jersey. He said, "I feel it important to share this memory. It was the early 80s. I was in a big room with hundreds of my fellow citizens on my first day of jury duty in a courthouse in Lower Manhattan. Suddenly, the tap of a white cane, a familiar voice, and Adrian Ash, there for the same reason. During the hours of subsequent waiting, we had a chance to get to know each other better. Then her name was called along with scores of others, and off she went to a courtroom for evaluation as a potential juror. After about 20 minutes, she returned and related the following. Each person was named carefully by the judge and lawyers and questioned about their backgrounds and their potential prejudices and preconceptions before either being dismissed or being asked to remain. When Adrian was called to the front of the room for examination, there were no such questions. Simply a few whispered words among the lawyers and the judge, and then, Miss Ash, you are dismissed. Before leaving the room, Adrian addressed the court. Your Honor, you have asked us all to approach this case with an open mind, free of prejudice and preconception. Shouldn't we, potential jurors, have a right to expect the same attitude from the court? Before the next blind person comes into this room, I hope you remove the prejudices that caused you to dismiss me today on the basis of my blindness." She then quietly left the room. I later learned that all the other potential jurors were dismissed because of Adrian's powerful statement. The next day, I was questioned and seated on a jury. When the case was finished, the judge thanked us all for our service. I called Adrian to thank her for making it possible for me to serve. These are the memories of Rick Fox. He also is a friend and a longtime member and supporter of the Federation. I will miss Adrian, and I urge you to keep her in your prayers. We had a board meeting over this last weekend. We sometimes do have the board meeting at the time of Thanksgiving. And we talked about many things, about how to govern the organization and the kinds of programs we were pursuing and the kinds of programs we want to pursue. During the course of the board meeting, I indicated that I did not believe that I would be standing for election to the presidency of the organization in 2014. I have been president of the organization now for 27 and a half years, and I note that there are urgent matters for the organization to address. I note that there is much work to do. I am in good health. The organization is also in good health, but we need to keep it that way. There are urgent matters. You know, there are matters like making sure that the funding of the organization continues sufficient for us to meet the needs that we have to meet, and making sure that adequate access to information occurs, and many, many others. But it seemed to me that if we were going to have a different person serve in the office of the president, that it would be better for me to have this occur while I am in good health and in good strength so that I can be of assistance in the process. I indicated to the board that I thought the people in the organization with the talent to carry out this task were in the room with me. I said that my own thought would be that I would want to support Mark Riccobono for the office of president of the organization when we come to the convention next summer. There was an outpouring of feeling, of joy, of warmth, of caring, of commitment to the Federation from the members of the board. That outpouring of feeling and support was most welcome, most heartwarming. I have talked from time to time about the need that one day there will have to be a change in the leadership of the organization, and it seems to me that this is the time for the change. And it also seems to me that Mark Riccobono has the talent for the work. I recognize that he will not lead in the way that I have led. This does not trouble me. I know that from time to time he will take actions that startle me. This is both inevitable and the right approach. I know that he has thorough commitment to the Federation. I know that he has enormous talent, and I know that he will do his level best to provide the kind of leadership that the organization urgently needs in order to build the kinds of programs and opportunities that we all dream might be ours. This is largely what I said to the board, and there was much response, reaction, and joy in it from the members of the board. We will have to do some planning between now and the summertime, and the planning won't be finished when we get through with the convention, but it seems to me that this is the time to take this action and begin the process of changing the nature of the leadership that we have so that there is somebody else with the commitment and the drive to bring the kind of leadership to the Federation that we need. It was startling to a number of board members, although I have lived with the idea for a great long time. Some who are on the board hadn't thought in those terms in quite the same way as I have, so they were a little startled when it came to be true that they knew some changes were needed to be made. I have some other things for this release. We have participated, as you know, in some of the lawsuits that have occurred between the Authors Guild and Google, or representatives associated with the Google Books Project. We had recently an argument in New York in the HathiTrust Google case, in which the Authors Guild is urging that the Google Books that have been created in digital form in the Google Books Project and that have been given to the HathiTrust for management be prevented from being distributed. Then there was the earlier case in which the Authors Guild sued Google to have the books that had been created in digital form destroyed. There are some 10 million of them. A decision has recently been made in this case, and it is a good decision for us. In part, it says these words: Google Books expands access to books, in particular, traditionally underserved populations will benefit as they gain knowledge of and access to far more books. Google Books provides print-disabled individuals with the potential to search for books and read them in a format that is compatible with text enlargement software, text-to-speech screen access software, and Braille devices. Digitization facilitates the conversion of books to audio and tactile formats, increasing access for individuals with disabilities. Letter from Mark Maurer, President of the National Federation of the Blind, to J. Michael McMahon, Office of the Clerk, January 19, 2010. Document number 858. And there's more language like that. In other words, what we've done is help the court understand that the kind of material contained in the Google Books project is of such a nature that it changes access to information for us and for other print-disabled people all over the country, and for that matter, if they're distributed in accordance with the World Intellectual Property Organization's treaty, far beyond our country as well. It changes the adequate opportunity for us to become scholars and teachers and students in ways that no other single body of information does. It is a tremendous decision for us, and I do hope and I do believe that we will continue to work with Google to have these books become widely available to blind people throughout the United States. I have an announcement here. This one comes from Mark Riccobono. It says, Bid for Equality. Have you viewed our Bid for Equality online auction yet? You can view and bid on our must-have packages at www.biddingforgood.com/bid-for-equality. Your last chance to secure these great deals is December 3rd at 11:59 p.m. Don't miss your opportunity to make your bid for equality. Now, I realize that many of you won't hear this until after it's over, but some of you will, so I'm urging you. If you didn't win the item that you wanted, but would still like to make a difference to blind people everywhere, please consider making a donation. Maybe the money you saved on Black Friday deals or one of our end-of-year charitable gifts to support the work of the National Federation of the Blind. You can, of course, find out more about it on our website, which is www.nfb.org, and then there is /make-gift if you want to go where we have a Make a Gift screen on our website. On Saturday, I want you to know that I got on the website myself and I bid. There was a string of pearls on there, kind of an expensive string of pearls, and the opening bid was $930, which is the bid I offered. And lo and behold, today I am told that the website shows that the bid on the string of pearls is $930, so I may get this string of pearls after all. I have a report about Meet the Blind Month. We have been through the Meet the Blind Month activities, and we raised some money there. The Show Me group out of Missouri raised $1,850. The NFB Jazz group out of Louisiana raised $1,580. The NJ Strong, or New Jersey Strong, group raised $1,200. The NFB of Maryland raised $1,013. And the NFB of Texas raised $1,000 even. Altogether, during Meet the Blind Month, we raised $9,780. And that's pretty good. It isn't exactly as much as we were hoping to get, but it's pretty good, and I appreciate all the work that went into getting it done. And I want you to know that we also had an effort to reach out to people in the community to let them know that we're here and to let them know that blind people have a lot to give in the community, and we got a lot of positive response from that. The winner of recognition in the group that reached out to the largest number is the North Central Chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Louisiana. So congratulations to you for getting as much community involvement out there as you did. I have an announcement here from Al Maneki about blindscience.org. It says, For almost 10 years, the NFB has maintained the Blind Math Listserv, a lively exchange of worldwide posts on all topics mathematical. The Blind Math Archives are now a huge amount. Finding anything of substance in them can be a daunting task, even for the most tech-savvy database users. Therefore, in cooperation with the Federation's Jernigan Institute, I, that is to say Al Maneki, spent the last 3 years combing through the Blind Math Archives looking for and compiling the most interesting and relevant postings. We have put this compilation on the NFB's blindscience.org website. And you can find these postings in different categories that simplify searches for the information. Currently, the archives have been searched through 2011. This work will undoubtedly continue, but if you want information about mathematics problems or information about how to solve some of the mathematics questions, you can get this information on our blindscience.org website, or you can get a hold of Al Manecki at A.P. Manecki, that's A.P.M.A.N.E.K.I, at earthlink.net to inquire about how to use this valuable resource. Here is one that comes from Patty Chang, who says, "Will you be a college student in the fall of 2014? The National Federation of the Blind Scholarship Program annually offers blind college students in the United States and Puerto Rico, which is part of the United States, the opportunity to win of 30 merit-based national-level scholarships worth from $3,000 to $12,000. In addition to a scholarship, winners will receive assistance to attend our national convention during July in Orlando, Florida. All of our scholarships are based on academic excellence, community service, and leadership. To apply, go to our website, check the rules for eligibility, read the scholarship submission checklist, then fill out the online application form. All applications to the NFB scholarship program for 2014 must be received by the deadline, which is March 31st, 2014. The website is www.nfb.org/scholarships with an S on scholarships, so you can get the information there. If you have questions, you can call here. Lorraine Rovig manages to deal with scholarship applications, so the telephone number is 410-659-9314, and the extension is 2415 to seek a scholarship from the National Federation of the Blind. I have here an announcement from the Writers Division, which says that there is a writing contest for adults and youth that will be coming up at the next summer's convention. There are prizes to be won. You must get your submissions in early. For more information about the contest, you can visit the website, which is writers.nfb.org, or you can call the division president, which is Robert Leslie Newman, at 402-556-3216. This, as you observe, is the Christmas season. We've had Thanksgiving, and a beautiful Thanksgiving it was. We have had the fall season where we work on conventions, and it was a good fall season with many good conventions. And now, after we get finished with the Thanksgiving time, we move into the Christmas season. There will be many gatherings and parties during the Christmas season. There will be much thought given to the right kind of gift or the right kind of remembrance. There will be much anticipation of joy and togetherness. I love the Christmas season. The year divides, as I have said many times before, equally between the Christmas season and the convention season. So I love the convention season. We have our convention in July, and then 6 months later we have the Christmas. And I love the Christmas because it is a season of small miracles. Lots of people are changed for the better during the Christmas season, and lots of people find that they have great joy of being a part of a larger community, which happens during the Christmas season very often, very strongly. And because I get to be with family and Federation friends, I love the Christmas season amongst them all so very much. And because I get to help create the miracles that I find so thoroughly heartwarming during the Christmas season, I love it as much as I love any time of year. There's usually a little snow, too, and I don't mind the snow. And there's a little cold to remind you that everything isn't all the time as the most pleasant, but the snow and the cold can be pleasant, too. And I think about what we've done in the past year. We've had our problems and we've faced our challenges, but we've faced them with joy and we've faced them with determination, and we've overcome many of them. There are many left to overcome. We have to find a way to solve the problems we have, but we have the capacity to do it, and we have the will and the determination to do it. So I love the fact that we can make a difference for ourselves and for many others. We can make the world a better place than the one that we found when we came. The Federation means this to me. When I joined the Federation, I found a miracle for me. And I've done my best to help others find that miracle, and many times I've succeeded in bringing the miracle of hope to them. Consequently, when we get to the Christmas season, I always wish you the best. I wish you the kind of hope and joy that can change the nature of your life and make it the wonderful life it is. And I wish you also the togetherness and the friends and the warmth that come with the season and with the friendship and the hope and the love that it is my pleasure to enjoy and to share at Christmas. So may you have a great Christmas, or if you celebrate one of the other holidays, a great one of them, the Hanukkah or some other religious festival. It's a good, good time for us. We are doing what we need to do, and we're making the changes we need to make. We're having the friendships we need to have, and we're finding a way to cherish one another. All of this is what Christmas means for me. Now, it wouldn't be a presidential release, and it wouldn't have the right flavor if it didn't have some, at least, of the customary endings. So here's one. What bird has wings but cannot fly? A roast turkey. Why did the boy throw the fruitcake into the ocean? He heard that it was filled with currants. How many reindeer are there with Santa? There are 10. Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donder and Blitzen. And then there's Rudolph, and then there's Olive. Olive, the other reindeer.
The preceding message was brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.